Leaders of the far-right Proud Boys are preparing to testify in the closing days of their trial. They're accused of seditious conspiracy, that is, plotting against the U.S. government. Yesterday, the head of the Philadelphia Proud Boys chapter, Zachary Real, testified. He said there was no plan to disrupt Congress and its certification of the election on January 6, 2021. Tom Joslin is monitoring all this. He was a top staffer on the House Select Committee investigating January 6th. Now he's a consultant to Democracy 21, a government watchdog group. Tom, hello.
How are you doing, Scott?
Doing well. We already have members of the Oath Keepers convicted of seditious conspiracy. In this case against members of the Proud Boys, prosecutors have presented text messages and video purportedly of members discussing an attack on the Capitol. First of all, what are these members accused of doing?
Well, there's actually an interesting distinction, and maybe a good way to describe it is explain the difference between the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. The Oath Keepers, or several members of the Oath Keepers, have already been tried and convicted, and some have already pleaded guilty to seditious conspiracy and other charges. And seditious conspiracy is obviously a crime that's not charged very often in our history. It's something that is relatively difficult to prove. But in the case of the Oath Keepers, their seditious conspiracy was part of this basically longstanding plot between Election Day 2020 and the Inauguration Day in 2021, January 2021, to disrupt the peaceful transfer of power. The Proud Boys are on trial right now, and this is really one of the more important domestic extremism trials, I think, in recent history for America. They're accused of having much more specific plans to attack the U.S. Capitol. So you heard this testimony yesterday saying there was no such plan to attack the Capitol or to disrupt the peaceful transfer of power. Other Proud Boys have already pleaded guilty to that. There's a lot of video evidence. There's a lot of chatter in their text messages. And there's other evidence as well, including a video that Enrique Tarrio, the head of the Proud Boys, recorded prior to January 6th, which he released that night called Premonition, in which he stood as this supervillain in front of the U.S. Capitol. So there's a distinction between the two, the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers, but basically these are very serious charges.
And Tom, in your view, you've mentioned some of the strengths of this case. What might be some of the weaknesses in this case? You've mentioned that these cases are not brought very often.
You know, the Proud Boys deleted a lot of their evidence. So they communicated via audio messages, via encrypted messaging applications, text messages and other things. And a lot of the video messages, a lot of their messages were deleted. So we don't have the full story. And I think prosecutors are trying to show and demonstrate that this plan to storm the Capitol, which Enrique Tarrio was talking about on January 4th, 2 days before January 6th, that there actually was connective tissue to the many Proud Boys operatives who actually executed that on the Capitol on January 6th. And you can see that they're talking about doing that. You can see that they do it. But there is some of that connective tissue has been lost because just don't have it. And I guess the defense would claim it doesn't exist. But I think there's a lot of reason to suspect it did exist and was deleted.
I was struck reading about evidence presented by the defense that Proud Boys members were talking to FBI informants, and some of these informants marched on January 6th. Does this raise questions about how informants were used or questions about intelligence failures before everything went down on January 6th?
You know, I don't know the full story here. I only seen some of the press clippings and press reporting on it, and it's something that I think requires a lot more investigation. However, what I've read raises an issue in that it seems to me that the FBI was using the Proud Boys or was talking to the Proud Boys to try and gather intelligence on left-wing threats as opposed to perceiving the Proud Boys as a threat themselves. That's some of what I've seen in the reporting. If that's the case, then that's problematic from my perspective. Remember, too, we were in an information environment here in which the far right has all sorts of conspiracy theories about these informants. They're trying to pretend that the FBI and the so-called deep state tricked Trump's so-called patriots into attacking the Capitol. And so every time one of these informants comes up, that's sort of the storyline that comes out of the far right. There's no evidence of that. There's no evidence of that whatsoever. These informants were really there for various other reasons and, you know, seem to be having cozy relationships with the FBI in terms of providing evidence about other groups.
Tom, briefly, you've also written about the approximately 20 January 6th inmates still held in a Washington, D.C. jail. They've become a rallying cry for members of the far right who call them political prisoners. Why are they still in jail?
Well, all 20 of them were accused of significant crimes, and a number of them have already been convicted or pleaded guilty to significant crimes. So none of them, I mean, part of what you see coming from the hard right and Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene and others is this claim that they're political prisoners. But it's very important to note that, you know, we got this list of the 20 January 6 inmates held as of March 13th of this year, and not one of them was being held for political reasons. Not one of them was being held simply for opposition to Joe Biden or the Biden administration or anything along those lines. That each one of them is accused of serious crimes. And when I went through the files for all 20 of them, 17 of them have been accused of assaulting law enforcement on January 6th. And of those 17, you know, I think about 8 of them or so have been either convicted or pleaded guilty to those types of charges already. So they're being held because they're being prosecuted as part of a criminal justice system. This is the rule of law being upheld, not because they're political prisoners.
Tom Joslin was a staffer for the House Select Committee investigating January 6th. He's now a consultant to Democracy 21, a watchdog group. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.